Dubai Eye 103.8.
We want to stick with the child and parent relationship. We want to fast forward many years from lunchboxes to college education. Our guest today is Simone Norali and her dad. Now, Simone is a freshman at the University of Pennsylvania. You may remember her from our panel discussion we had a little earlier on this year, where she was joined by two other equally clever teenagers who were off to their choice of Ivy League universities. In fact, Simone got accepted in no fewer than seven universities, including the University of California in Berkeley, John Hopkins and George Washington University. As I said, she's joined in studio by her dad, Samir. But before we speak to them, here's what Simone said a couple of months ago before she left for uni.
It's a cultural melting pot. Like being at an international school myself, an IB international school, I think that all of my friends have, you know, different backgrounds. So I think adapting to American culture won't necessarily be the hardest part. I think the hardest part will be doing our backgrounds justice and being, you know, those ambassadors in the right ways for our schools.
It's a warm welcome back to Simone, and her dad Samir joins us both in studio. Thanks so much indeed for being with us. Let's start with you, Simone. We heard you there on the show last time round. You chose UPenn, or all the Ivy League unis that offered you a place. Has it lived up to expectations? Is it all you wanted it to be?
So thank you so much for having me back. I want to eat my words right now because I went in very high and mighty, and the first semester, as any freshman's first semester, has been incredibly difficult, but not because of the University of Pennsylvania. I didn't always see myself on the East Coast of America living those winters. Growing up, I thought I'd be a West Coast kind of girl, but now that I'm there, I think the university's grown on me and it's the place I need to be. But that's not to say the first semester wasn't incredibly difficult on me. I'm sure my family as well.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because it is a learning curve, like everything in life. And I suppose it's interesting you mentioned the weather there, because that can have a massive impact, especially for somebody who spent a long time here in the UAE.
So the weather is definitely one of the biggest factors, I think. And it doesn't only hit me coming from Dubai. I think it impacts some of the American students as well, just because I had forgotten to realize that there was so much diversity within the U.S. in terms of, you know, culture and weather. So all of us, you know, Southern American kids and out here Middle East kids, we're looking at the winters and the skies, not able to go in the rain, not knowing how to cope without winter clothing, all these expenses we didn't know we needed. And so I think the weather plays like a big part in determining how you're going to live your university years, what you're eating, what you're doing with your time. Mm. And it takes away from how you imagined it would be.
Can I ask you about the freedom? Because that's one thing everyone talks about, isn't it? Before heading off to universities, they get there and it's, you know, amazing. Suddenly you make your own decisions. You've got time on your hands as well. Is that the case, or are you keeping yourself busy as well?
So I think freedom is definitely one of the biggest curveballs that uni throws at students. And in the first couple of months, you see kids around you kind of going wild with freedom that they didn't have, you know. And it's a bit of an Icarus story because then you're flying too close to the sun, and all this freedom and how you're spending your time ultimately leads to a couple of kids crashing really hard mid-semester.
Yeah.
For me, it was about navigating all these things in my life that I didn't know needed to be done. Like the first time I had to pay my own phone bill and actually walk to the store, I kind of went crazy, you know. I said, oh, this is a responsibility I have to do now. Doing laundry, I couldn't find a rhythm. So there'd be like times at 3 a.m., you know, I'd be in the laundry room half asleep trying to figure out how to separate whites from colors, turning my white shirts blue. Other things like managing your diet, managing your time, balancing school work, which is really, really important and not at all what you'd expect it to be. And that social life balance as well, which you need to, you know, keep yourself sane. I think that's the biggest issue with all the freedom.
Let's ask your dad about the freedom as well. Is there a sense of freedom for a dad that drops his daughter off at the college over in the United States and then comes back to work here in the UAE? Or is there constant connection as well, going, is she doing this, is she doing that right, etc.?
So I think in our case, it was more that constant connection with the mom, and the mom would literally be awake at 2 a.m. and at 5 a.m. and just trying to kind of keep a tab. Simone, have you eaten? Where are you right now? Are you studying? Are you okay? Are you okay? And it does on a daily basis. I think for the last 4 months, every single day, even when we've been traveling, the mom has been. I've been a little more at ease because the mom's taken care of that stress. I think freedom is something that every parent, or parents especially coming in from this side of the world, would be worried about, because the children are on their own. It's their decisions. It's the life. And how much they will have to self-control and self-restraint. Because there's way so much of attraction and distraction both that could swing them away from the core purpose of studying. And I think that's so easy for children, you know, to kind of get swayed away from studies. And that's always a worry, because, you know, they've got to make their own decisions, and what time they come home and who their friends are and where they hang out and where they draw the line, because it's all about them. I think we're just blessed and fortunate that Simone is well-grounded, and she knows where to. It's been emotionally challenging for her as well, you know, where she's had to say no to parties because, well, you know, there's not some good things happening over there. And we've been proud of those decisions. But we know that it is, you know, it has been challenging for her as well, you know.
Has the in terms of, I mean, we talked about the sort of the emotional element with Simone. I mean, emotionally for you and the rest of the family here as well. I mean, suppose that something as simple as the time difference is something that you need to get used to.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you look at it's a time difference is a good solid 9 hours. 8 hours, which means that, and for times where, you know, my wife is an early riser as well, so she manages to get hold of Simone, and I often can, because when I'm up, she's either at university in classes or whatever, and by the time I get to bed, it's a whole difference. So I think weekends, at least I kind of catch up, you know, with her, or if she's doing a late night studying as well, that's when we kind of get time to catch up with her. So it is, I think you are worried in terms of to be able to connect. Thankfully, technology is such where, and there's a lot more video calling and phone calling available now than it was in the earlier years, earlier decades, that where your child is right now, you can. So I think it is a challenge, and I think it's also having that trust to say, yeah, you know what, your child's doing okay, and she's there and she's matured.
She was talking there about the university of life and, you know, coming to terms with things like paying your phone bills and doing your laundry, etc. as well. We often hear the criticism levelled at all students here in the UA that they live too pampered a life, and therefore going abroad to university can be a bit of a struggle. Was that a concern for you before Simone went?
So I think Simone was, let's recap, right? So every parent over here living in this part of the world wants to provide the most comfort to their children. And in that comfort, we realize that we don't let them step a foot on a metro on their own to get groceries on their own. We just, you know, want to protect them and almost keep them in a shell, right? And when you go there and life changes 360 degrees, right? So when Simone had to come back to JFK, as an example, from Philadelphia, she had to switch 4 modes of transport, right? So it meant taking a bus in the middle of the day, taking a metro, well, subway, and then taking an air train, and then finally reaching. I think that was something that she was never prepared for, and we didn't prepare her for. And most parents don't do that. I think we just so overprotect our children. We do need to kind of let them loose and explore the realities of life that are very different in the US, and they'll be expected to do all of that on their own without our support.
And is that, I mean, I don't like to use the word pampered as such, but again, I suppose we live a sheltered life as such here in the UA because so much is available to us as well. Was that a concern for you, Simone, before starting up over in the States or not?
So I was kind of split between that major concern because on one hand, I did try late, but during senior year to start branching out, you know, try and use public transport here to prepare for going there, you know, do my own dishes, make smarter like meal choices. And I've always been like a fond traveler. So it wasn't necessarily the traveling or the exposure to like American road and, you know, public transport networks that was scaring me. But I did realize that I didn't necessarily live the most street smart life. Like I still can't navigate my way back home here. And then I went to New York City where every day is trying to navigate a labyrinth. So that was a concern. I think that not by choice or not by, you know, want, but a lot of us do live very pampered lives here. And it's not necessarily best for us when we're going into environments where you're very much on your own, living with kids that are also just trying to figure it out. Because it's not, I think, our faults here in the Middle East. I think there's a lot of kids coming from different regions of the world, too, who just haven't had the same sort of exposure to navigating the ways of life on their own.
More from Simone, more from her dad Samir in just a few moments' time. I got my mind set on you.
This is The Agenda with Tom Urquhart.
Where opinions matter.
On Dubai Eye 103.8.
Simone and Samir Narelia with us here now. Simone is over at the University of Pennsylvania and she's a freshman down there at the moment. She's back though, giving us a little heads up of how the first semester's been, how things are going as well. We've been talking about the sort of the cultural change there. I want to get the sort of the educational side of things, because as those that heard you first time round will know, you had no issues with regards to getting the grades that you needed and to get to university over there. In fact, it was your choice to go to where you are now. Now that you've had one semester to sort of look at it, the educational grounding, the schooling you had here, has it prepared you for the classes, the professors, the education that you're getting over there now?
So I went to Uptown School, which is an international baccalaureate school. And I love my diploma, even though it probably took years off my life by the time I got through it. With that, I will say that nothing will ever compare to perhaps a high school education here. The kind of attention I got almost one-on-one, the relationship we built with our teachers here, all of that was gone when I went to university. And that's perhaps one of the biggest changes and one of the things that I wasn't necessarily ready for. Mm. You know, one of my lectures seats 200 students, but one of my lectures seats 700 students. So there's almost no chance that you're going to be able to interact with your professor. The content is harder and faster moving. Over here, I was doing one subject across 2 years. There, I'm doing the same level of intensity across a semester, which is at most, you know, 3.5 months. There's more frequent examinations and the study styles are different. So what you're expecting from each subject is completely different. You know, it might be multiple examinations for one. It might be papers and essays for another. And I think that's one thing that almost no high school could prepare you for, especially because it depends on like the teacher's style or the professor's style as well. You know, there are renowned professors who have been doing this for years and they structure the course sometimes in a way to weed out the people they don't want in their major. Those are called weed out like classes. Others in ways to challenge you or prepare you for the future years. Even within a subject, it depends on the teacher. So I wouldn't say it's a bit of a lottery, but it requires a lot more research and preparation going in.
So that leads me to my next question. And it's one I want to ask both father and daughter about, this issue of college anxiety. Harvard study says that in the US, 63% of college students, almost two-thirds, are feeling overwhelming anxiety within the past year. You've just talked there about the academic pressure. And we've spoken about the social side of things, the pressure that comes from that, which might generate lack of sleep. We all know the Americans love a cup of coffee, that's for sure, and their soft drinks, so there's no shortage of caffeine. Is college anxiety, to your mind, from what you've seen and experienced, is that a thing at the moment? And how much should we be talking about it?
I think it's very real. And I think it's not addressed enough. Even on campus, we have this phenomena we call pen face, in that a lot of us pretend to be outwardly okay, which goads other people into pretending that they're okay as well. And it creates this highly toxic atmosphere of everybody's fine and we're dealing with it. But underneath, everyone is struggling and they're trying their best to hide that, because there's pressures coming from the academic side, immense pressures. You know, there's your major. Do you like it? Are you enjoying the classes you're in? Did you accidentally take hard classes and now don't compare your grades as well as to your, like, those of your friends? Are you making the right friends and, you know, losing touch with some of them? Did your student orientation friends not become the ones that you ended up hanging out with throughout the semester? When are you going out? How are you going out? Where are you going out? So there's all of these pressures about balancing your social and academic life that culminate in a lot of pressure being on a student. And I think a lot of the times we don't necessarily communicate what we're feeling entirely back home. Because it's this idea of maybe if you just get through it, there's no point in like putting that added pressure on, you know, your friends and families back home. So in being free, we're also trying to be so independent that we're trying to deal with everything by ourselves.
It's interesting you mentioned there about the pressure on family back home. And Samir, I was going to ask you about that as well. I mean, is that something that you and your wife, Simone's mum, has been able to pick up on? Are you conscious of when she is feeling anxious or not?
I think the mom has picked up a lot more, and I'll be very honest about it, also because of the relationships. And we know, and the mom knows when Simone's low, and she can feel it in the voice. And it does take a lot of you know, pulling it out from her to say, guys, what is wrong, right? And a lot of times Simone will just say, oh, yeah, I'm okay. It was just, you know, I have not eaten, or, you know, the class or whatever. But we know that there's more to it, and this takes a lot of... Also, we understand from Simone that she doesn't, like she mentioned now as well, she doesn't want to put us in that stress situation. And there's nothing that we can do as well, because, you know, you're sitting 8,000 miles away, and there's nothing you can do. She'll have to deal with those emotions herself. However, yeah, there have been times in where Simone's felt absolutely low, and we felt, you know, literally helpless to say, guys, you know, what are we going to do about it, right? Should we just drop everything and let's just have her come back? And the answer is no. You just listen to her and listen to your child, and you just guide them and you coach them to say, guys, yeah, it's going to be okay. And that's fine. And focus on what is core and what's important, right? And I think it's just ability for, you know, at that age, it's also very difficult to differentiate and distinguish in terms of what they should be focusing on. So I think a lot of kind of time around kind of goes into when we have those conversations with her, and to help her just feel at home, you know, and just give her those distractions to say, guys, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay in that first semester.
Are you okay for 5 minutes, you guys? Can you stick with us for 5 minutes? Just, we've got to go to the news headlines now. I'm just conscious of the fact, though, that Simona's, you know, she's come here into the studio wanting to talk to other would-be students, those that are going through the process at the moment, about some of the do's and the don'ts. So we're going to get onto that in just a few moments' time.
On The Agenda, we love speaking to the outspoken.
This is your chance to join the conversation.
Text 4001.
Or message us for free on the Dubai Eye 103.8 app.
College anxiety is real. It's very, very common. There's a number of reports that have backed that one up. We're in conversation with Simone and Samir Nurali. Simone's a freshman at the University of Pennsylvania, and our conversation has prompted a number of text messages coming in this morning, a number of comments coming through online as well. This one from Danny, who's got in touch, saying, I suffered from a lot of anxiety whilst at college, but I found that being proactive destroys that anxiety. Never procrastinate was my motto. Do homework the day it is assigned. Start projects the day you know about them. Make an action plan to finish them early. Show up to your classes every day, even if it isn't required. Study the syllabus for each and every element of your studies. Make them your text. Get a planner and write out your schedules, assignments, readings, projects, tests, and months in advance. If you're always ahead and aware of what's coming up, I think that is what makes you more comfortable. So interesting, Danny, they're talking about addressing or using the academic to get over the anxiety.
Exactly, but that's the academic side of it. There's so many different sort of facets to college anxiety. It's very common. I was trying to do my research on this. Not a lot of data is available, but the American College Health Association Fall 2018 National College Health Assessment, it says that 63% of college students in the U.S. felt overwhelming anxiety in the past year. In the same survey, 23% reported being diagnosed or treated by a mental health professional for anxiety in the past year, those that couldn't cope. So college anxiety is real. It's even worse among Dubai kids going away, probably for the first time. They're living away from their parents, the first time they've had to take on major personal responsibilities. Plus, as Danny said, the academic side of it. It's a very testing time for you guys, Simone.
No, for sure. I completely agree with that. It's testing in every aspect of the matter that you can possibly think of. Academics, socially, lifestyle, there's so many changes. And in a time where you're just trying to be the best version of yourself while simultaneously looking to the future and trying to map out, you know, the next 10, 15 years of your life from this new platform that you have ready at your, you know, disposal and usage, that's a lot of pressure to put, you know, on an 18-year-old who barely knows what they want to do with their life or, like, the direction they want to take.
And have you seen or have you met people in their freshman year who couldn't cope and basically had to get help or had to drop out? Because you've been fortunate with the support of your family and your friends, you know, and your mom calling you to check on you. But what about those people who don't really know what to do and don't have anyone to turn to?
So fortunately for me and the group of friends that I have at university, all of us have been lucky enough to find each other and use, you know, the comfort that we provide. But I have heard of other students that I've met slightly older years who have had a really rough first year, first semester, and had to take time off 1 year, 2 years even, to come back and join the university at a later date where they were in a better place in their lives. And I think it's the difference with the control you exercise in your first year of university, the group of people you surround yourself with. And as the listener on the show said, it's really important to have at least your academic life mapped out so that it doesn't feel like it all hits you at once towards the end of the term.
And you underwent tremendous preparation before going away, before Samir dropped you off in the U.S. to college or to university. But what were the things that you wished you knew before leaving?
So I definitely wish I knew, you know, the level of responsibility I would have to undertake in terms of my personal life decisions. I wish someone had told me in advance to, and people do say it actually, and we just take it for granted, but to know who you are and to be yourself, to find your own people and to not strive to be someone you're not in a place that you know you can't fit in necessarily. Like, I understand college is about discovering yourself and taking that leap of faith to put yourself in situations you normally wouldn't be, to step out of your comfort zone, but not to the extent that you're creating a more anxious and more tense, you know, lifestyle for yourself.
Tom, do you have any questions?
I have lots of questions. In fact, I want to bring Dad in if I can, because Samir, again, I know we sort of addressed this just before we went to the news, but just to sort of elaborate on that, I was just thinking about it during the break there, that as a father myself, you know, sure, when you as a parent get that feeling that your daughter or son, whatever it might be, is struggling, it must be a really difficult one. I mean, it's a difficult one if they're in the bedroom next to you, in the same, under the same roof. Absolutely. When they're 8,000 miles away, I mean, what does that do to the family? Does it make you stronger as a family?
So I think it definitely brings us closer. But I think the first time when Simone cried on the phone, that broke us. Mm. And every student kind of goes through. There's no doubt, you know, it'd be lying to say. And I think that really kind of said, oh my God, what's wrong? How terrible can it be? You're not there to wipe tears off you know, your daughter's cheeks, to say, guys, okay, it's going to be okay. You can't give them a hug. To say, guys, we're there with you. We're there with you, but we're still 8,000 miles away, right? And I think those are testing moments for parents where they almost feel helpless. Now, we know for parents that have actually taken a flight from Dubai to New York and kind of flown down to see the kids because the kids are broken down, right? Obviously adds a whole lot of cost element as well. And then still to be able to manage emotions for yourself, you know, first to say, guys, okay, you know, we're going to be strong. We're strong as a family and it's going to be okay. And it's just a tie that's going to pass through, right? And I think just having that faith and constantly checking on them, I think is important. And I think that's where I think the mom does a better job, must admit, is to check on Simone twice a day. Now, you know, other children or, you know, youth at 18 years old may feel that, oh, you know what, my mom is still on my parent, my dad is still, you know, checking on me, that's a lot too much. I think in this case it's important till they find their comfort zones. We've been on situations where we haven't spoken for 2 days and 3 days, and that's going to be okay because we know the child is at an emotional state where they are okay and they're busy with the exams and studies or whatever, right? But the times when we've touched on them and checked in on them 3 times a day, only if it's required, right? I think that's important for parents to do, is not leave to say, oh, child is out of sight, out of mind, and they're busy and whatever. No, they're not busy. They would need help, and they'll be afraid to tell you that you need help, and they need you to listen to them, right? And a lot of times, the conversations don't have any meanings, but you're just talking.
Yeah.
And that's where you're kind of connecting to say, guys, yeah, that's what, you know, that's important, and that's important to find time with your children even more. And like Simone was saying, we have more conversations when she's actually overseas in the US than when we were actually in Dubai.
Yeah. Right? So to that end, Simone, has it strengthened those bonds? I mean, I'm sure it's increased the phone bill a little bit as well, but has it strengthened the bonds to a certain degree? Made you realize some of the emotions that maybe we take for granted with our parents here?
So I think perhaps I haven't felt the extent of it. Sometimes, you know, when keeping in touch with like my parents and my brother, it's as much for me as it is for like me to keep. It's important for me also to know how they're doing.
Sure, yeah.
And like what's going on in their lives and how Dubai is, because it's, you know, my home that I've left behind. It's always just been the four of us. So I think for me, more than perhaps some other kids, it's really important to keep ties back to my family. But I think in dealing with the college anxiety, you know, in following my passions, like joining clubs, finding groups of people that become a family over there, I think I've been able to manage that that pressure and that stress really well. Mm. In that, you know, there's a group of students that I found. We all share a passion for hip hop. And I see them quite often, in the sense that I don't always have time to, you know, miss being back home and miss the comforts of Dubai, because they're really good at providing that same sort of atmosphere and energy over there that high school and my family was to me here.
Daisy's text in said, please can you ask Simone, are there not services available on campus, resources available to help you?
So there are actually. So I know for a fact that my university has a center for psychological services. And I think there is still a stigma, both amongst the greater society, amongst society back here, and even amongst the student body, to not avail those kind of services that are offered to you and not seek that help externally, just because I think we're all trying to prove something to someone. We don't know who yet, and we don't know why yet, but we're trying to be independent and self-sufficient. And I think a lot of us loathe to admit that we might, or the, you know, a student might need that kind of external help. So while those resources are often available, we rarely go to them. Now, that being said, our class board, which is student government, they do great things for us all the time. Like, they have puppies on campus if we ever need to de-stress. They hold events and game nights. So there's a good environment for finding that help within a group. There are also specialized services, but I feel like as a society, I don't think anyone's at that stage where they're, you know, outwardly seeking it yet.
Really appreciate you coming in. Thanks so much indeed for joining us. I know you're only in town for another few days. When are you flying out?
Thursday?
Okay, so Thursday, all packed and ready?
Not at all.
Still got a couple of days to indulge in the creature comforts of Dubai. Yeah?
For sure.
Make sure that you've got all the bits and pieces that you're missing over there as well. But what I mean, do you approach this next semester with a different mindset from what you've learned before?
For sure. I think the first semester is the biggest learning experience of your life. And there are things, you know, minor arbitrary things that I'm going to do or students are going to do to have better lifestyles, you know, map out your academics, eat healthier, be more strict about maybe a gym schedule, because I think everyone needs that little bit of, you know, exercise in their life. Wear or buy less clothes, take less clothes, you know, don't bulk up over there. There are minor lifestyle changes and things, you know, that you should probably be sleeping earlier and more consistently, having less caffeine. The standard minor changes that you didn't necessarily consider in the first semester where college was so exciting and overwhelming that now you know you need to implement in your life to live healthily for the next 4 years.
What about mum and dad as well? You've had a bat for the last, what, 4 or 5 weeks. It's been bliss as well. And we've got to go through it again.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's like Simone said, it's just packed less. I think we tend to think that, you know, obviously facilities are not there, but they're living in a first world country as well. And Simone's brought half her wardrobe back to Dubai, right? That what we packed for her. So I think we'll be, you know, a lot more conservative now in terms of what she actually needs. Just, you know, making sure that obviously from a fees and everything else and all those checks are in place, that she's there for the next 3.5 years of her life, being able to really kind of focus on her core and her studies, right? So I think that's where we've evolved as well, you know, and hopefully, yeah, it's going to be a good, smooth ride.
Be a good one. She'll be back for Redfest. I know. She'll be back for Redfest.
I will find out with that lineup.
Listen, can't thank you enough, both of you, for coming on in. To you, Samir, and you, Simone. Thank you so much indeed for your time today. Thank you for having us back. And Simone, thanks. All the best. All the best, you know. And if you ever need to talk, we're on between 10 and 1. So feel free just to call into the show anytime, you know.
Absolutely. Drop me a line anytime.
Really appreciate your thoughts for both of you.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.